together.
You apricot get those, hating bastard.
I know that. I know that. And that's just for me personally.
Apricot lives Justin, matter too.
Right. Well, Justin exactly. loves it. I'm you're on racist. The other end of the spectrum. I don't care for this one.
You're definitely on the spectrum, my friend.
I mean,
we've been
I love,
saying that for years.
We've had a lot of the Woodinville products.
And they're fantastic. Fantastic. Very well made.
And I don't know that this one improved the product. You know, when you want it, when you're finishing something, you want to say, yes, we finished it and it improved it. For me, it did not improve it. I don't, and by Justin, it did improve it. So
I would agree with you. I didn't really compare to some of the other Woodinvilles we've had, but if I'm going to be honest, I would say that the Woodinville whiskey in general is better than this.
It's very good.
And this,
yeah.
And this particular finish probably dropped down the quality overall and the flavor profile for me compared to the base spirit. Maybe. Normally, you'd hope that the finish would enhance it.
Maybe the Red Fox fans will enjoy it, you know?
It's better than straight Muscatel. I can tell you that. That improved the Muscatel.
Yeah. That's not saying a lot. It had to when you have a good bourbon to go in it, you know, then has to improve the Muscatel, so.
You guys are dumber than a box of hair.
I swear. Yeah, it's, yeah, I got to agree with Brent. We've reviewed several from Woodinville, and every time we get a new one from them, they're all excellent. I mean, they're doing a great job. They're knocking it out of the park with pretty much everything we've ever had. But I think the problem here is the cast they picked. I don't know if this is representative of, you know, everyone that they had. I don't know if this is representative of the style you're going to get from a Muscadal de Sebidimo barrel. If it is, then again, we've had whiskey finished in every kind of thing you can imagine. And like, how many times have you had like a tequila finished bourbon? And every time I look at it, I go,
yeah,
it doesn't work. I don't care how good the whiskey is. It just doesn't work. I don't think that this is a good combination.
Lamont, I file protest.
I mean, maybe there's another bourbon out there that goes better with Muscatel, but I don't think so. I just don't think it's a, I don't think it's a good combination. I think it's more of a, we kind of picked this because that was what was available and let's give it a shot. And I think they did the best they could with it. It's not, you know, it's well-made whiskey. I just don't think it's a combination that's going to appeal to most whiskey, to most bourbon drinkers. So we're rating the Woodinville Muscatel two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
We'll be back.
Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back. We were just talking about the Woodinville whiskey, but we're moving on to our next whiskey of the show. So we're going to have Maury tell us a little bit about that one.
Thank you, Bob. Our next whiskey is the Yellowstone Family Recipe Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 50% ABV, 100 proof, 6 years old. This new expression from master distiller Stephen Beam was inspired by a recipe for the original Yellowstone bourbon found in notes from Stephen Beam's grandfather, Guy Beam. Using this recipe and using yeast cloned using DNA from a yeast jug belonging to Beam's great-grandfather, Minor Case Beam. So this is an interesting whiskey. It's got a very nice burnt copper color to it. On the nose, I almost get a little scent of spearmint. but it's a little bit of a medicinal quality to the nose, a little bit high on the alcohol. It kind of singes the nose hairs a little bit. On the palate, it's a pleasant whiskey. It's got a little hint of brown sugar and cinnamon and all the usual. Again, I get a little hint of spearmint on the back palate. It has a medium finish. It's a nicely made whiskey. It's not going to really set off any alarms in terms of running to go get it. It doesn't really differentiate itself well from a lot of other things. I would say it's well made, no inherent flaws, but nothing really kind of stands out to me about this whiskey that makes me want to run right out and buy it. What'd you think?
Yeah, they haven't differentiated themselves from any other whiskeys. This one seems to be a little bit more
ordinary.
Yeah, ordinary. For me, it's a little bit of corn forward on the palate. The, you know, it's got some of the whiskey, the bourbon notes to it that you get with all of them, but nothing says, hey, I need this one more than I need this one or whatever, you know. So, I mean, if you're just picking a bottle off the shelf and you're looking, yeah, get this one, but there's nothing, like you said, all the flavors that you mentioned are there, but it doesn't.
Just doesn't excite you.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Right. You know, so.
Justin, what did you think?
The story and the bottle are more interesting than the bourbon itself.
I agree. The heritage, the history, the Beam family. It's got a lot of interest. Of course, Yellowstone's been in a brand that's been resurrected. And so for those reasons, it's cool.
Yeah. It's got a great label, got a great bottle. The bourbon is good. I mean, it's just, Justin.
Well, imagine you're in the Old West, 1880s, 1890s, and there's a bottle on the shelf that just says whiskey on it. And you have that shot. It's going to taste like this. I definitely get these old, dusty notes. It's not transcendent. It's not delicious, but it's definitely whiskey. And to me, it's definitely old whiskey. That old yeast cloning thing, I think that worked. It's just not something that we're used to drinking now. What'd you think, Bob?
Look, this isn't a Romulan labor camp. I don't have to answer your questions. And I don't give a damn what you think.
Take that. I think it's, again, it's a really interesting whiskey. I'm with Justin in the fact that, you know, getting the old yeast strain, I think, is bringing back sort of that old school flavor that we may not be quite accustomed to. Because it's definitely different. You know, there is definitely a different flavor to this. But does it stand out? Is it, you know, elevated? I don't know. This might have just needed some more time in the barrel. I don't know. On the nose, it's got sort of a waxy, putty nose to it. On the palate, it's some... the oak is rather tannic. It's a little dark. It's got burnt brown sugar notes to it. Again, nothing, you know, no inherent flaws in the whiskey. It just doesn't, again, it doesn't just step up and wow you. But I think maybe they're on to it. You know, I think this might be the first step in resurrecting the actual old Yellowstone with their yeast and figuring out what they need to do to make it to that end. So I think this is a good start. And again, solid whiskey, all around, you know, wouldn't turn it down if you poured it for me. You know, well made. So we're going to be rating the Yellowstone Family Recipe Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to have Brent tell us about Ragged Branch.
Thanks, Bob. So Ragged Branch Distillery is located in the Virginia countryside, about 15 minutes outside Charlottesville, Virginia. It's founded in 2010 by Alex Toomey, a farmer and developer, along with friends Chris Sarpy and Russell Nance. With the assistance of the legendary Dave Pickerel, the Johnny Appleseed of American craft distilling, they developed the foundation of their bourbon process. A true farm-to-bottle distiller operation, they grow 100% of their raw grain on the owned or leased land. They believe that this allows the grains to absorb the minerals unique to the local soils, which contributes to a taste distinctive to the area. Their water comes from a deep well on the property. They ferment their mash for 4 days and distill in their 500-gallon common-built Vendome combination custom. Still.
Custom built, not common built.
Yeah, well, common or custom. You know, they're all the spirit is aged. The spirit's aged to maturity in new charred American white oak barrels on the property in their own rickhouse before being bottled on site. And in a further commitment to their farm to bottle philosophy, they also sell their Ragged Branch bourbon beef prime cuts and hamburger from their own herd of cattle. Raised at Ragged Branch in their nearby leased site at Pounding Branch Farm. The cattle are fed with the residual mash from the distillation process. Two members of the team, each with an agricultural technology degree from Virginia Tech, oversee their cattle operation to ensure delivery of only the finest quality beef. I want some of that beef.
Where's the beef?
When Johnny brought the bottles over, he didn't bring any meat. I'm just saying.
I think it's not fair to discuss the bourbon without the beef that was made from the cows that ate the fermented mash.
I'm pretty sure a big steaming ribeye right now would make these much better.
These would be great, you know. So this first one is the Ragged Branch Bottle and Bond Virginia Straight Rye Whiskey, 50% ABV, 100 proof. 83% rye and 17% malted barley. The color is it's beyond a copper. It's kind of a goldish copper kind of color, dark gold copper. On the nose, I get black tea and tobacco, and I kind of think that that's the region they, you know, from their farm.
Yeah, that's their signature.
I think it's, you know,
like the Beam peanuts and the Dickel's, vitamins, and everybody has their. Their tag.
So this area where they're getting it from, with the water that they're using, the products that they're using, it's, I think that is the common on the palate. I get tobacco, cinnamon. I get some like a buttercream icing on it, you know, that's there as well. Besides the everything else, the finish is, you know, it's a medium finish. It's nice. It's got a nice mouthfeel on this. Overall, I love where they're going with this. You know, this is not your, you know, for a straight rye, you know, you have that 17% malted barley. I think, you know, I think they might play around with that in the future. You know, but overall, I'm enjoying it. Justin?
I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's got one of the best rye noses I've ever had. It's like classic.
Nothing can compare to your nose.
Well, thank you. And it was great.
I don't think his nose all that great. It smells.
Well, that's all it needs to do is smell.
And the palate also is a classic rye, and it had a great finish. I think they did a really good job with this one. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 95 or 100% rye, but I understand that it's 83 rye and 17 barley. But I think they did a really good job. And I do get that black tea note that you guys were talking about too.
I get Earl Grey. I mean, that's Earl specifically Grey. On the nose. Yeah. This one, I mean, the others I get black tea, but this one I get Earl Grey.
Right.
And I get like damp tobacco. I mean, if you've ever been in a tobacco barn where they're hanging the leaves,
this is that area. This is that area for that. The old tobacco
comes out
which is
really cool, because when you, like you said, when you think about it, where's it coming from?
Yeah, ground. They're trying to show
it's coming from tobacco country.
Right, so they're trying to show the heritage of that area, you know, of what their heritage
the terroir
is.
Terroir comes through.
I agree with you. I think I'd love to see this whiskey again in another 3 or 4 years. I think this whiskey, for me, it's a little bit young.
It is a little
beautifully
young,
made. It's well built. I agree with 100% of what you guys have said, and it's really cool that it showcases the terroir and it comes from tobacco country, and you get the tobacco on the palate. I would love to see this whiskey in 3 to 5 years.
I'm looking forward to the whiskey that they're making now that's going to come out in the next 3 to 5 years, because they've changed some things in their process. We had Johnny Foster come over for dinner one night and brought the bottles, kind enough to bring us the samples. And they've changed the barrels. They went from number 3 to number 4 char, and he's went in and instituted some changes and some things that work good for them at Old Scout. And I'm sure he's learned stuff that they're doing that, you know, that would have maybe been, you know, changed the way he had done it back in the day. But, yeah, I mean, it's a it, you know, a well-made whiskey really seems to show terroir. You know, got a nice flavor palette to it. Another couple of years, it's only going to get better. So I think they're well on the road to success with this one. So we're going to rate the Ragged Branch Bottled in Bond Virginia Straight Rye Whiskey a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
All right, so we're going to have Justin tell us about our next one from Ragged Branch.
So now we're going to talk about Ragged Branch Virginia Straight Wheated Bourbon Double Oaked. It's 45% alcohol by volume, 90 proof. It's made of 68% corn, 16% wheat, and 16% malted barley. After aging for about 3 years, the whiskey is transferred to new number 4 char American white oak barrels for an additional year. So they've made some interesting choices. That wheat really comes through mostly on the nose for me. The expression does come through a little young, but I think that after the three-year aging, the transfer to the white oak was a good move. It gave it a little bit more character. On the palate, honestly, there was a off note which dissipated after a half hour of leaving in the glass, and then it was nice and balanced. And the finish, which was off after a half hour, finished nicely too. And I thought it was decent for what it was. What did you think, Maury?
I actually concur with you, Justin. It's well made. There's no inherent flaws. For my palate, it's a little young. It's a 4 year old. I like where they're going. I like the way they make stuff. I love Johnny Foster and some of the ideas that he brings to the table. And I know that this thing's going in the right direction. I think that was probably his influence to then re-barrel it and age it in the number 4 char white oak. And I think that's really helped it. I suspect it was not nearly as good prior to that. Again, I'd love to revisit in a few years. I think there's nothing wrong with it now. I think it's only going to get better. I think the future is bright for them. Brent?
Yeah, this is basically a double oaked bourbon.
Yeah, you went from a white oak 3 to a white oak 4.
Yeah, you know, so I think they see that they needed to bring more of that characteristics out of the bourbon that they're making there. And I think probably that the number 4 did a little bit of that. Like I said,
I would like to see them amp it up and even just dump the 3 year into a number 5 char and just, you know, go for the gusto.
Yeah. And probably be too much, you know, for finishing.
The age, you know, or toasted, go toasted.
Toasted would be interesting, yeah.
Or go toasted, it would be an interesting way too. But yeah, the age on this, and I know they know it as well, you know, like they wanted to get their product out there. You know, I'm sure they have to try to recoup some of their costs and stuff. And so they want it out there, and now you have a point where you can see it age as it goes on in years. Like you see its progression, like we've seen with some of these other distilleries, how they've progressed over the years, and we're looking forward to that as well. Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to rate the Ragged Branch Virginia Straight Wheated Double Oaked a well-deserved three sips. So let's move on to our last whiskey, which is the Ragged Branch Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Bourbon Double Oaked, 50% ABV, 100 proof, 68 corn, 16 rye, and 16 barley. And it's 4 years in American white oak barrels and then transferred to number 4 char barrels for an additional year. So on the palate, it's got a nice creaminess on the nose. On the palate, I get dry oak, a little bit of caramel, a little bit of dark, almost burnt toffee. Yeah, this one I like better than the last one. What do you think, Brent?
I agree.
Yeah, step up. I agree. It's because this one's the bourbon. I enjoy this one a little bit better.
But it's also a year older.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's made a big difference.
You can see the progression right here.
Well, it's the difference between a weeded and a regular. And for me, weeded always needs more aging.
And wheat is always softer as well. So,
right. So you've got one that's aged a little longer and it's non-weeded and it really just, it shines. Yeah. And so it's what I've been saying all along, which is give these whiskeys a few more years and they're going to be knocking it out of the park.
Well, we're going to rate the Ragged Branch Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Bourbon Double Oaked four sips. There you go.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Always love some bourbons.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another exciting day in the damp, dark, drippy basement.
Well, it's only drippy when you're here. Okay. Good trip. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, and thanks for listening. We are the luckiest people in the world to be able to talk to you about whiskey.
Well, that's pretty much it for us for today. So for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob reminding you, thank you for joining us and reminding you it's life's too short to drink bad whiskey, so don't.
I won't add anything. I won't.
You've drunk bad whiskey too, pretty much. You'll drink whatever's available.
Yeah, but
if it's brown, Brent will drink it down.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a 110 Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.